Commerce will come back to order at 5 minutes after 10 on April 15th. President Representative Ledoux, Representative Hughes, myself, Chair Olson, and Representative Tilton.
And Representative Culver.
And Representative Culver. We do have a quorum to conduct business. This is a continuation of the Wednesday and Thursday meetings. We have two bills left on the calendar. First one up will be Senate Bill 126, Small Security Offerings. With us we have sponsor Mia Costello, Senator Mia Costello, and Brandon?
Weston.
That was close. Please join us. Nobody's here but friends, doesn't matter. Welcome back, Senator.
Thank you.
And Weston.
And Madam, Mr. Chairman, just point of order before we go. So you said two bills, 126, and then?
I said we have two bills on the calendar. We're only hearing one, Senate Bill 126.
Okay.
The other bill for the information of the people in the room has not come across yet.
Okay.
So we had it pending referral.
Okay.
We'll have that one this afternoon, hopefully.
And then this one confirmation?
No, the confirmation went out yesterday.
Okay. She's sitting on my desk earlier.
Hmm. I think probably because we don't know if you got it or seen it, but
yeah,
it went out yesterday.
I remember your comments on the floor about the misinformation.
I apologized as well yesterday morning on behalf of third floor.
Thank you.
Yeah. Representative Costello, please state your name and affiliation for the record.
So I'm Mia Costello.
Senator Costello.
Thank you. I'm Mia Costello. I represent Senate District K in Anchorage, which is by the airport, by Kincaid Park in Turnagain area. So I am really excited to be introducing this bill to your committee. It is a bill that has been in my thoughts for several years. We've been waiting for Federal Securities Exchange Commission regulations to be drafted that would allow this concept to be implemented by states. We would not be the only state to be doing this, so we're following in the footsteps of some other states that have done this and had success with it. What this does, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, is it allows for businesses, entrepreneurs, and innovators who have an idea to access capital in a way that's easier than they have had in the past. And so the way this works, it's very much like Kickstarter or GoFundMe, where if you have an idea for a business or a project, you could solicit donations on a portal or a website. What's different about this legislation in terms of that is it would go through the Department of Commerce. The funds would be limited that the Alaskans can contribute. They would be held by a bank, and then the business would have access to the funds in their business idea. It is a way to spur the economy. And my aide, Weston Eiler, will be going through the bill in detail. But I just wanted to share with the committee the significance that small business growth has on an economy. It's pretty significant. Data from the IRS in 2008 showed that sole proprietors generated 11 times more net revenue per dollar than large corporations. And in 2010, a Harvard Business Review study found that regional growth highly correlated with the presence of many small entrepreneurial employers, not a few big ones. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this concept is also in a governor's bill. It is an exciting opportunity for equity investing in Alaskan-owned businesses, and the bill provides guidelines so that it can only be Alaskans contributing to Alaskans. So with that, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'd like to turn it over to Weston Eiler, my aide.
Welcome back.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Weston Eiler, staff to Senator Mia Costello. Mr. Chairman, I'll just walk through a few of the overall points of the bill and then walk members through a sectional with your permission. Senate Bill 26 uses a... Senate Bill 126 uses a new concept of equity crowd investing. It's a simple premise, but something new to much of economic development in Alaska. Under this concept, Mr. Chairman, small businesses, entrepreneurs, people looking to start up, have a business startup in Alaska, instead of receiving an investment from a bank or a few traditional investors, entrepreneurs would otherwise be able to solicit a large, investments in a small amount from a large group of people. Mm-hmm. So they would be allowed through a website, through solicitation, to solicit investments from large groups of people up to $7,500 each. Again, the idea of crowd investing, providing a large group of folks the opportunity to invest in these businesses that are just starting up. As Senator Costello mentioned, you can currently do this with options such as GoFundMe and Kickstarter, but what you can only do now is, if you're opening a brewery or a small business, you can only reward investment in that business was, say, the first beer that you brew or the first product that you make. You can't give them equity ownership in that business. So what this bill does is basically allow, through changes and exemptions in the Alaska Securities Act, allow small businesses to give equity ownership to large groups of people that invest in business startups. What it does is basically add a new tool for entrepreneurs. And what I might do, Mr. Chairman, is just walk members through the sectional that just kind of tells a little bit about how the bill does that mechanically. The bill basically amends these new types of investments, crowd investing, equity crowd investing, from the Alaska Securities Act, but then adds in a variety of sideboards and safeguards to protect Alaskans who want to invest in business startups. The reason it is an exemption from the Alaska Securities Act is that these are very small-scale investments. The Alaska Securities Act and other federal regulations are primarily done through broker-dealers or on the high level where individuals are investing in private companies. We're talking of investments of no more than $7,500 per individual with $1 million cap per businesses. In the scope and scale of investments in private businesses, these are very small in the scheme of things. Section 1 of the bill, Mr. Chairman, amends the Alaska Securities Act by basically exempting the sale of small securities through crowd investing between Alaska businesses and residents from the Alaska Securities Act. Both the issuer, the small business, and the investor must be Alaskans. And there are several safeguards that provide for proof of that through the bill. If I might, Mr. Chairman, I'll just walk through Section 1 that lays out the safeguards that the bill provides as crowd investing is exempt from the Alaska Securities Act under the bill. Subsection 1, the issuer's organization must be for-profit and must be located in Alaska. Under Section 2, it provides that securities under this section may only be sold to Alaska residents and must be in compliance with federal law. Subsection 3, that the sale of securities are for a for-profit entity are capped at $1 million. So again, there are a variety of tools available for small businesses, for startups. This just adds another tool to the tool set, and it's capped at $1 million. Businesses can certainly grow beyond that. They can use crowdfunding in regards to other financing that they might get privately, but under this bill, they can raise up to $1 million to start up their business through crowd investing. Subsection 4 is the individual limit, whereby individual Alaskans can invest up to $7,500 in a business per year. Subsection 5, the issuer of the securities, again the entrepreneur, must have a reasonable belief that the purchase of the securities is for investment and not resale. Number 6, Mr. Chairman, the commissions for persons participating in the offer or sale of this are prohibited. Number 7 requires an escrow account, whereby this is another safeguard to protect from fraud. crowdfunding and investment in business startups are already risky to begin with. What this provides for is that all funds gathered by a small business, by an entrepreneur under crowd investing, be held in escrow until a certain minimum target is met. Subsection 8 allows for the solicitation of securities under this section. Subsection 9, restrictions on who may issue the securities. Subsection 10 is a disclosure and again adds additional sideboards. Subsection 11 requires a signed acknowledgement of risk. One of the things about crowd investing and investment in startups, Mr. Chairman, is that these are potentially risky investments. Many small businesses, as the committee aware, fail. And so this is basically not a mechanism by which to stake your retirement on by any means. It's a risky investment, but it helps spur, again, entrepreneurship or helps you invest in businesses that are in your own community. But as part of the consumer protections, Subsection 11 requires folks investing in companies through crowd investing to sign that risk. So they actually have to read and sign a waiver basically saying they acknowledge the potential risks that these type of investments have. Let's see. Subsection 12, again, outlines the exemptions of these sales of this type of security from the Alaska Securities Act. Subsection 13 clarifies that these are, this act is still subject to the anti-fraud statutes and other provisions. And then, Mr. Chairman, basically Section 2 is the exemption itself from the Alaska Securities Act. So if I might kind of rewind that, Mr. Chairman, the way this would work is that this is a different set of regulations for these small-scale securities offerings. Both the business that is seeking to do this would apply to the Division of Banking and Securities to be authorized to issue and solicit these investments, and then the safeguards with regards to acknowledgement of risk, holding the monies in escrow, and also just the general oversight by the Division of Banking and Securities ensures that there are protections for Alaskans in their investment. It's a subtle but potent way to help economic development, especially in rural areas and especially really in your own community. This bill removes some of the traditional barriers that have made it onerous for average Alaskans to invest in private companies. And it has shown wonderful results throughout the country. It's been used in over two dozen states and has great potential for Alaska. Mr. Chairman, we also have with us the director of the Division of Banking and Securities with us today, Mrs. Kevin Anselm, that can talk about the particulars, the federal regulations, or the implementation of it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions for the sponsor? Representative Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Multiple questions, I'm betting.
Actually, yes, Mr. Chair. I am very excited about this bill. Thank you, Senator Costello, for bringing it forward. As you know, I'm passionate, like you are, about economic development, and you mentioned in your opening statement the economic impact of small business, and I, along with that monetary amount, I think of the word jobs, and so I just think this is a really good step for Alaska. I did have a couple questions, just so I understand. Alaska residency requirement. I'm just wondering what is the determining factor? Is that based on PFD eligibility, or that's the first of three questions.
Certainly.
And before you answer, I'd like to announce we've been joined by Representative Kito. Please continue.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hughes, if you'll pardon me, I was going to direct you exactly to the spot at the bill. The section I believe you're asking about, Representative Hughes, is on page 1, subsection 2. The transaction must meet the requirements of the federal exemption for interstate offerings, must be offered to and sold only to persons who have established residency in the state at the time of purchase, and the seller must have a reasonable basis to believe the investor has established residency in the state. I would actually defer, if I might, Representative Hughes, to the department. I believe that they would actually use or establish the definition of residency in regs.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And Mr. Chair, if I could go on to my next question.
Pardon me?
May I continue? Okay, so what, perhaps, yes, and perhaps the department, if they come forward, could answer the residency question. I had a question about the $1 million cap. I noticed for the investor, it's $7,500 per year, and just to understand, is the $1 million cap overall, that's not $1 million per year, is it? Is it, or the...
Through the chair, Representative Hughes, the following subsection is subsection 3. The exemption may not exceed $1 million less than the aggregate amount received for all sales within the 12 months before the first sale made. So it's $1 million, I believe as written, just per year. But let me confirm that with the department in terms of I'm reading that language correctly.
Okay, thank you. And one more, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mood.
So I think the funds being held in escrow is a wise part of this, the structure that we're establishing for our state. And as I was looking through the section on analysis, and I have to admit I didn't dig through the bill, so maybe it's in there, but that a minimum target would be determined. And as far as just wondering who determines that target, and is that going to be something decided by regulation, or how would the person say if they're trying to get to that $1 million mark, what's the is there going to be an analysis of the risk? I just wonder how that minimum target's going to be determined, and if it's a case by case basis.
Through the chair, Representative Hughes, I think a little bit of both. In our discussions with the department, we sought to tailor a bill that had very clear safeguards and statutes to protect investors while also remaining nimble enough to accommodate these new types of investments and make it easy for entrepreneurs who might be starting their first business to use it. Having escrow required was debated whether or not it should be in reg or statute. In an earlier version of the bill actually talked a little bit about the websites or portals that could be used. It was decided that is more ably handled in regulation. The concept for this bill, and as we've seen in other states such as Alabama, is that a small business or someone wanting to use this tool has to apply to the division. So from that start, the division has to kind of assess the plan and get a sense of how they want to use and obtain these investments. So the division is involved throughout the process for oversight, not to kind of mangle the process of it to ensure, but rather to ensure those safeguards and ensure that there's not any fraud.
Okay, thank you very much.
Representative Liddell.
So I'm actually not sure whether to ask the bill sponsor about this or Ms. Anselm, but
Ms. Anselm will be coming up after we get done with.
All right. Well, can I try the bill sponsor then first? So I think we've seen something very similar to this in another bill brought by the department. I think it's a portion of that. So I guess I'm just trying to make sure that both the that there's no inconsistencies in the language of this bill compared to the language of the other bill that we've seen, and if there is, what's the plan for ironing things out, because it seems like both bills may be moving.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Ledoux. We are aware that the administration has an element of crowd investing in another bill, and we are in communication with the department, and depending on if both bills pass, then we would remove the section in the other bill so that it's easier for the bill drafters. But we just today had that conversation with the administration, so we're watching both bills, and as you know, in the session anything can happen, so we want this concept to survive, but at the same time we have a plan for removing it so the bill drafters don't have to be looking at two bills that have similar concept.
And just one further question. I'm trying to remember whether or not the amount for the crowdfunding is the same in both bills. I have a vague recollection, and I may be incorrect, that in House Judiciary the amount may have been changed from $7,500 to $10,000.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ledoux, you're correct in that in the both the administration's securities bill, which had provisions for crowd investing that Senator Costello mentioned, the amounts initially were different, lower than the amount that we have in Senate Bill 126. Some of the other differences also related to, as I mentioned with Representative Hughes, the use or not of escrow. My understanding is that the administration would look to put that into regulation. We have it specifically spelled out here in the bill as regard to a safeguard that's required in statute. So the amount here, and I haven't seen the Judiciary Committee substitute for the bill you mentioned, but this would when we introduced this bill, was an increase from what the administration originally proposed, but also had a few additional safeguards as well.
Thank you.
Please continue. More questions? Seeing no more questions, I assume you guys are staying around.
Yep, thank you.
Kevin, you're up. Welcome back. Seems like you were just here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's true, I was just here, and I'm pleased to be back. My name is Kevin Anselm, and I am the Director of the Division of Banking and Securities for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. And I'm pleased to help explain how Senate Bill 126 may differ from the current bill that has been put through by the administration. First was, if you don't mind, I'll just answer the question so people don't have to ask them again. The question regarding residency. Residency, as we read it here, and it's very similar to what's in the administration bill, would be residency, but not PFD residency. So it's basically employment, living conditions, intent to remain. And there is a statutory cite to that, which I don't have here, I'm sorry. No. But I can provide it to the committee if you would like it. Second.
Yeah, I'm just going to, and it would require physical residency, so someone wouldn't be setting up a P.O. box, wouldn't get a bunch of people from out of state. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Hughes, you're absolutely right. It has to be residency. It has to be a citizen here.
So it has to be brick and mortar?
Yes. The second question related to the amount per year that could be invested or used by one of the crowdfunded businesses, and that is $1 million per year. And the reason that the $1 million is there, just for additional information, is if it's more than that, we run into not fitting under the federal exemptions. So that means that it kicks into to federal laws relating to securities. So that's where that $1 million comes in, to meet one of the federal exemptions. And then finally, escrow. The escrow, as it's written in this bill, would be fleshed out a little bit in regulation, although we were hoping not to have too many regulations. We want to make this relatively easy. But let me tell you what we do now with funds that need to be put in escrow because of other securities provisions in the law. And we do look at the investment piece and what they plan to invest in. Sometimes there's a staging where the entrepreneur will be able to take money out to do certain things after they meet certain thresholds. Because as you know, a business it's not always just turnkey. There are things that have to start up first. We'll also look at the background of the entrepreneur. Or the business, if they've got more of a history already, there may not be as much of an escrow requirement. So it will be somewhat flexible, and we'll be working closely with the entrepreneur. There'll be a lot of information that needs to be provided, but not near the information that would be provided for a regular securities registration prospectus, which, as you know, can be quite thick.
Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're talking about the escrow right now, and it says escrow in a bank or other depository institution authorized to do business in the state. Could you just define what the other depository institutions are?
The other depository institutions besides, I'm sorry, through the chair, Representative Tilton, we have credit unions.
best depository. And so at this point, those would be the two that I would be aware of that we have here in Alaska. And it means by in this state would be in the state, but it doesn't have to be a state chartered institution. It could be a federally chartered institution, as I understand the intent here.
Okay, and just follow up. Mm-hmm. So you don't, not a consideration of anything kind of outside of a financial or banking institution?
Through the chair, Representative Tilton, not that I have understood from the bill sponsors.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Ledoux, followed by Representative Keto, followed by Representative Hughes.
So, I feel odd asking this question, but do you remember the amount that passed out of House Judiciary for the amount that somebody could invest, and then did that the bill go through another iteration in House Finance that may have changed that?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux. No, actually, the administration's bill, and we're talking about House Bill 194, was proposed with $5,000 limit. There were no changes to that limit in this body, Labor and Commerce, and in Judiciary, it was amended to $10,000, which is kind of on the outside of what is happening across the country right now.
And the bill has not had any further committees?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, it did go through House Finance, but no, there were no changes made there.
Thank you.
Representative Keto, followed by Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under item number 5, page 2, line 11, there's a clause that says the issuer reasonably believes that all purchasers of securities are purchasing for investment, not for resale, in connection with the distribution of the security. Do you have an anticipation of how that would be implemented? How do we at the state, I know that the issuer will register, but how does the issuer then track whether or not their investors are considering resale, or will the regulations say they will be prohibited from resale?
Through the chair, Representative Keto, a couple of things happen. First, the issuer is responsible for determining that, and typically, and this is true in other exemption sorts of securities investments, the issuer will typically have a written assertion from the investor that they have no intent to sell the securities. The other issue here is that these securities they're not easily tradable. In other words, if someone wants to sell this security or bequeath it to someone, there are certain, it has to fall under another exemption. Otherwise, it has to be registered. Okay. So the other piece of this is that investors need to know that they are not easily alienable, so to speak. So they're not going to be trading these on a market.
Follow up briefly. So I guess the sense I'm getting is it's not like receiving a stock certificate, and this is something that can be transferred through a will or something. You put cash into this, and that cash might return, but it's not actually ownership of anything until the crowdfunding activity has been realized. Is that fair?
Through the chair, Representative Keto, sort of. What they will probably receive is a stock certificate or a note if it's a debt security. But right on it will be a legend that says that these securities are not transferable unless there is an exemption under the.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Hughes, followed by Representative Ledoux.
Thank you. It's so good to have someone so knowledgeable here to answer our questions. Marijuana businesses, if one were, because of the federal restrictions on that and regarding banking, if someone were to come forward with that, how would you deal with that and what would happen?
Through the chair, Representative Hughes, I'm glad someone finally asked me that question. Because we need to have this out in the marketplace. What will happen, there are a couple of things. First, there are some rules on the in the marijuana area that requires residency in the PFD sense for investors and people that are backing those. So anytime that there's going to be another restriction on an outside business, we would be looking at what those restrictions are, because they would basically trump the residency requirement that we have here. So that's the first thing. Other than that, truth of the matter is there's no prohibition right now on investing in securities that relate to marijuana businesses. And in fact, we've been watching closely what's happened. A number of larger firms have gone through registrations or notice filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We have not had any on a small scale level suggested here yet. No one has applied. We've had some inquiries.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm back to the fact that there seem to be two bills, this bill and the one that I believe came through this committee and then came through House Judiciary. And if both of them pass, if I understood correctly from the bill sponsor, then the idea was to take the crowdfunding out of the big omnibus securities bill so that there wouldn't be any drafting problems. But you actually have right now an inconsistency with the amount that is allowed to be invested, in that this bill has a $7,500 amount from a single investor, and the other bill has a $10,000 amount. So that's not just a technical thing, that's actually substantive. So I'm trying to get a handle on if this bill doesn't go from $7,500 to $10,000, how that will be dealt with if both bills should pass.
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, as I understand, we've been working with legislative liaisons to make sure that we understand the process. Currently, there are two bills, actually three bills. There's House Bill 194. There's also Senate Bill 108. Senate Bill 108 is currently sitting in Senate Finance, and it's expected that if House Bill 194 passes the floor of the House, then that bill will also be in Senate Finance. And that's where those two bills come back together, the companion bills. And there will be a CS at that point to remove the crowdfunding pieces from the administration's bills. And so then the bill, if things continue going as it appears they may, then the provisions for crowdfunding in Senate Bill 126 will be the provisions for crowdfunding in the Alaska Securities Act.
If we had two bills hit at roughly the same time, though, wouldn't the revised statutes straighten them out?
Chair Olson, I'm not sure how that would work specifically.
I guess I'm thinking if we have two different amounts, it would be difficult for the reviser to understand legislative intent. So I do think keeping an eye on trying to clean it up before we get to that point might be the best idea.
Agreed.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, though, we only have one bill that's gone through one side and is working its way through the other at this point in time, being this bill.
Mm-hmm.
So in all likelihood, this will probably be the first bill.
It may well be.
So it's moved at that point in time, isn't it?
Chair Olson, as I understand it, if we have two bills that are trying to compete for the same place in the statute, something will have to happen so that we don't have two bills that apply to the same part of the statute.
That's what I'm just looking at from a time standpoint. I think that one has already gone through the Senate, and I likely would get out of this committee and to the floor today. That's probably the only one that's going to get all the way through the process, I would guess.
A lot of time left.
Chair Olson, as I understand it, the bill that's sitting on Senate Finance, the 108 from the Senate side, is just waiting there. It hasn't gone through the Senate yet.
Oh, okay.
So it is waiting there.
Representative Hughes.
I believe you stated earlier that the governor's original bill had the 5,000 amount, and so I'm just wondering why that's on the low end. Why the administration went on the low end, and just your comfort level with the 7,500 as opposed to the 10,000.
Through the chair, Representative Hughes, it is true that it went through with 5,000 originally. That's how it was proposed, and it was proposed actually almost 2 years ago. There's been more experience out there now with other states, and the 5,000 is kind of at the lower mid range of what other states are doing right now. The $10,000 amount, which is currently in House Bill 194 from Judiciary, is at the high end of the amounts, and in fact is at the federal limit that is allowed for crowdfunding.
And your comfort level with those different numbers, and that's really, I knew more about the numbers, but I'm just wondering.
Through the chair, Representative Hughes, it really is at the will of the legislature. Obviously, if people are investing $10,000, they're taking more risk, and we're hoping that they'll be very careful in their decision making. Obviously, the division will do as much as it can, but we are a disclosure state. We're not a true merit state. In other words, we don't go through and figure out for sure if this is going to be a business that goes or not. We have to look at the information that we have and make sure that we can put as many safeguards in as we can, but we can't tell them how to do the business and make it succeed.
So I know that you have strict rules about when amendments need to go in, but we kind of just got this bill, and I just talked to the bill's sponsor, and they've indicated that they would not object to an amendment raising it to $10,000. We talked in Judiciary, and we came to the $10,000 limit basically because in Alaska, people tend to have higher incomes. And so we ended up with the $10,000 limit rather than the $5,000 or the $7,500 limit.
It would slow the bill down today. I think if you did it on the floor, you would probably have a faster response. We've been pretty consistent that we put everything up for 24 hours. I see no reason to change at that time, but I think you could probably do it on the floor and have it sail through. Any further questions? Anybody in the room here to testify on this bill? Anybody online? What are the wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move SB 126, version 29-LS1284/W from committee with individual recommendations and attach zero fiscal note.
Any opposition to moving this bill out of committee? Seeing none, hearing none, the bill will move out of committee, and we will recess until 3:15.